Well, hello once again. Welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily civil afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Donald Trump's campaign manager has been charged with assaulting a reporter earlier this month. Six anti-Trump protesters were arrested in Wisconsin yesterday ahead of GOP frontrunner Donald Trump's appearance there today. They'd stormed a Holiday Inn in Janesville and refused to leave. These occurrences may be indicative of a larger trend that this presidential race seems to be displaying. Nastiness on all sides, barbs traded between the candidates, even more barbs, literal and figurative, among their various supporters. The remaining candidates are preparing for a primary in Wisconsin next week, making stops across the state. Now, here's the important question. What do you think? Is this race getting too nasty? 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I want to hear from you because it's the Vox Pop, the voice of the people. You can also post comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Of course, this program will be available afterwards as a podcast. I think that's right. And also as a, just one of those things you go and look at online. A lot of people do that now. So I need your help. I want to know what you think. I have to say, you're not going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. A group of us were standing around watching the TV of the alleged assault by the Trump campaign manager. And frankly, we couldn't see it. And it may be a good example of, there may be a let me through kind of thing here, but it was not, here, I'm going to punch you in the nose or something like that. Just didn't, or grab. Nah, that just didn't seem to happen. So is this, have we come to the point now where everybody who doesn't say excuse me or whatever else is going to be arrested? Oh, please. That ain't right. Just ain't right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Nico in Duanesburg.
Hi,
Nico.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll make this quick.
Don't.
So in terms of the Republicans, the Republican Party has been sowing subtle seeds of, I would say, xenophobia and normalization of violence and subtleties in racism for the better half of 30 years now. So it's only natural that you see it coming out in display with a candidate so outrageous as Trump. And that brings me to my next point, and that is I really think that the presidency is a reality TV show. It's a spectacle, and if the people were to ever make a radical decision that follows, I would say, the lines of, follows the lines of self-interest by picking somebody like Bernie Sanders, I think that the global power elite would just say, okay, this democracy has been fun and interesting, but we're just going to have to end it.
Or the appearance of this democracy. So
yes, thank you. Yes, the facade of the democracy.
Right,
the facade of being able to make a well-informed democratic decision as a nation.
Because one of the things, Nico, that is being said by Trump is implying that the Republicans, not being able to get rid of them, are going to stand up at the beginning of the convention, bang the gavel down, take a voice vote, phony voice vote, and say, let's change it from a majority to two-thirds. That, of course, is going to turn off a lot of people. But do you think, Nico, that that's what was happening in the last election? In other words, I don't see the same sort of nonsense that we're seeing here. What do you think?
Well, so I do to a certain extent. So there was the Ron Paul campaign was gaining some traction and gaining some real, particularly in caucus states, it was gaining a lot of traction. People were actually getting involved. And the Republican establishment pretty much put a stop to it and changed rules outright. I mean, there's plenty of evidence through YouTube where people just completely shut down, caucus events, and the Republican, leadership just kind of picked, okay, we're going to go with Mitt Romney. Yeah, I mean, they're private organizations, and they can do whatever they want.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
they
true.
They had the scripted platform change, you know, at the RNC, and, you know, it's all a facade.
Okay.
They're a private organization. They're going to do whatever they want.
Well, Nico, thanks for getting us started. I very much appreciate it, and call again, okay? Bye.
Thank you, Alan. Take care.
We'll go to, to Catherine in Saratoga. Okay, Catherine, you're on.
Hi. I wanted to go back to what you said about Trump's manager allegedly shoving the reporter.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the video actually that I saw, you can see that she was standing on Trump's right side.
Yeah.
And she was asking him a question. I believe she either had a notepad in her hand or a recorder.
Yeah.
And you can see Trump's manager reach up and grab the woman by the arm and pull her back away from Trump.
That's interesting, Catherine, that you say that, because I was watching it. My friend Ray Graff was watching it. You know, I'm no Trump supporter, but I frankly thought, if anything, this is nonsense. I didn't see it. Now, there are people who hate Trump.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Exactly. That means you're lying.
I saw.
Yeah, right. No, that's good. I'm glad you're telling us that.
The other thing would be is, if somebody had a clear conscience and they weren't guilty and they didn't, you know, pull the reporter, I mean, it's just that. It's just that he pulled the reporter. Why did he turn himself in? Why?
Well, because they told him to.
Well, anytime, I don't want to say I did it.
Anytime somebody's being arrested, or they usually will say, show up at the police station. You know, and that's the way it is. A charge has been, you can't not go. You know that, Catherine, don't you?
He wasn't arrested. He went into...
No, that's right. Look. When Shelley Silver or Deed Skelos or anybody else, they don't come and put them in handcuffs. They say, show up at the police station. And they do. They turn themselves in. Hey, listen,
okay.
Catherine, thank you for giving that side. Appreciate it. Yeah, bye.
All right, thank you.
All right. And now we're going to go to Peter in... No, we're not. We're going to go to Bruce in Ulster County. All right. Bruce, you're on the air.
Good. Couple of opinions. Number one, I think it's going to get nastier still between in the Republican side.
Yep.
And I don't mind that in a way because I think it's going to turn off more Republicans from voting. And I think that, as far as I'm concerned, that's good because the Supreme Court is up for grabs for maybe even half a century. And we cannot allow, you know, that to happen, the Republicans to win. I also think, I go back and forth between Bernie and Hillary, but as long as one of them wins, I'm okay with that.
Well, I'm getting a fair number of telephone calls, Bruce, for whatever it's worth, from people I would characterize as being sort of center-left or far-left, who are saying they won't vote for the Democrat because they're all part of the problem. They're going to vote for, you know, a third-party or fourth-party person. What do you think of that, especially when you've talked about the Supreme Court and how important it is?
Well, I don't know who they think they're going to vote for.
Jill Stein, maybe. Jill Stein or... You know, a Nader-type person who may be running.
Yeah, no, I want to see the Democrats win because, and the main reason is the Supreme Court.
Sure.
Hillary gave a main speech about that, I think, was it last night or the night before?
Yep.
But I've been believing that for months.
Me too.
I really mean months. Hmm. And I'm glad, and I've heard you say it, and I think, you know, people are beginning to realize how important it is. Another comment, and, you know, the Republicans are fond of saying that, well, this is the party of Lincoln and Reagan. First of all, I don't think Reagan would be comfortable in the Republican Party, and people forget about him on Contra.
Yeah.
But as far as Lincoln goes, people don't know or forget whether they even knew in the first place that it was a disputed convention or whatever you want to call it, because Lincoln didn't win till the third ballot.
Yeah, and by the way, they used to go 30 ballots, 40 ballots. Listen, Bruce, we got to take a break. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back with Peter and Ruby and Jesse. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Support for WAMC comes from Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors. Serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com and on Facebook. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. Temple Sinai, Saratoga Springs, New York, an open congregation welcoming the Jewish community and visitors for Shabbat, holiday services, their religious school, cultural programs, and more. SaratogaSinai.org. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans with weekly tastings, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. And Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement. A proud supporter of public radio, FortHillAutoBody.com.
And we are back thanks to Zachary, our wonderful engineer who keeps track of us and does what he has to do. We've got a Peter in Western Massachusetts. All right.
Yes.
Peter, you're on the air.
Alan, I'm a little bit concerned about your response about the Trump manager of the campaign. Did you say he was indicted for charged with assault?
Assault, yes, but not indicted.
Yeah. Okay, but assault versus battery.
No, I think the what we were seeing on the TV was assault.
Yeah, well, I think it's an important difference, and I'm not a Trump supporter, but I think people should be respectful of each other, and if they're not, then they should be held accountable.
But you know, people, well, I was watching it, and I have to tell you, there was a young woman who just called and said that she disagreed with me. But you know, some when you're, for example, a Trump bodyguard, and you have to clear way for the guy and the rest of it. Look, you know, I think that you know, I've seen fights where a guy says, "Touch me, just touch me," and the other guy touches him and says, "Okay, I'm calling the police." You know, that's crap.
But touching is battery. Assault is verbal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not always. So,
oh, really? Okay.
Okay. So anyway, Peter, thank you for your call. I disagree
thank
with
you,
you but
very
I
much.
I disagree with you, but I thank you for calling. I appreciate it very much.
Okay.
Thanks.
Right. Bye.
Right. So that was okay. I don't know what to do here. Let's go to Ruby and Phoenicia. Ruby, you're on.
Yes. Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I know that you like Bernie, and I so want to like Bernie.
Yeah, yeah.
I just can't get past the thought that the GOP will hogtie him the way they did Obama. What do you think is going to happen? How do you think he's going to do any better?
Well, let me put it this way, Ruby. First of all, don't take your guns to town. Secondly, that's an inside joke. We get it, right, Ruby? But not everybody else gets it. Okay. But in Ruby's case, I think it was don't take your love to town.
Right.
Okay. But the answer is, so what? What are we supposed to do? Never elect a Democrat because we think that the Republicans and the Congress are going to give him a hard time? Duh. That's the way it is. That's who these people are. So who should we appoint? You know, Pope Francis? I mean,
The Republicans talk about keeping Hillary from getting into the White House.
Yeah.
If they're being honest in that and they really, you know, prefer to have Bernie, then that's possibly a reason to get Hillary in there. I also actually like the thought of Bill being there as well.
Yeah, two for one. When they elected Bill the first time, that's what they said, two for one.
Right. So, you know, and we wound up with the greatest surplus in history when he left.
Yeah,
we all know what happened to that. But.
Well, yes, and we all know that the Congress was Republican at that point, so they get a little bit of the credit for that.
But, right. So you have no concerns about them being as obstructionist as they've been with President Obama.
Well, of course I do. Don't put words in my mouth. Of course I do, Ruby. You and I agree on that. But what are you supposed to do about it? If they're going to be obstructionist, I'm asking you, what's the way around that? What do you think the way around it is? Not elect Hillary, not elect Bernie because they're going to be obstructionist?
That's I think she are. Might have greater connections, and I think she might be able to get more done with Bill's connections as well.
Well, that's what worries some people, Ruby. I mean, there are many people who think that the problem with Hillary is that she's too connected and that she's part of the problem.
Yeah, I guess it's two ways to look at everything. And if I can also ask,
yeah.
I mean, when Trump first came in with the popular vote, it was plain to me, and of course I could be very wrong, that those votes were blue-collar Republicans that have been lied to once too often by the GOP.
Yes, and in the crossover states, blue-collar Democrats.
Right.
In other words, it wasn't only Republicans. And there's a whole sense here that there's an elitist group which has taken control of our politics. That's why I think, Ruby, that both in one case it's Bernie for so many people, and in another case it's Trump, because they just want, they've had enough of this inside group. They see that their own money is increasing. They see that their jobs are in danger.
Look, if the Republican voters, which who are obviously more than 1% of the population, yet the money is going to only 1%, that means some Republicans aren't getting money as well.
Well,
that dissatisfaction, of course, results, I believe, in these votes. Now,
you know,
why isn't the media highlighting this?
Highlighting what?
What the message is.
I'm sorry, I'm missing you here, Ruby.
Isn't the message obviously by the voters voting for Trump, it doesn't care if Trump says he'll kill every man, woman, and child. They're not going to vote Democrat, and they're not going to vote for the old-school Republicans.
Well, a lot of them will vote Democratic. A lot of them will vote
Democratic.
And that's why I think the Democrats should be hoping for Cruz as the candidate, because the Democrats are not voting for Cruz. The middle will not vote for Cruz. The middle, and many people in the middle, will vote for Trump. That's the one thing we know about all of this.
So you think the Democrats stand a better chance if Cruz gets the nomination?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, Ruby,
got it. Trump was just so outrageous that there's no way.
Nah. I think, see, Trump could get to the white non-college graduate Democrats in a big way, not Cruz. What the heck is he going to do? Okay, thank you, Ruby. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Al.
Yeah. Okay, now we're going to go to line five. Whoa, line five. That would appear not to be the correct thing. What happened there? Line five. Nobody's on line five. Okay, that should be off. I think it should be off. We've got a line two. What about that? Line two? Hey, Jack, what's going on here? Something's wrong. Line two. Hello, line two. Are you there? I don't know what's happening here. We got a new system while we're changing over to our new control room. And, of course, it's not quite what I thought. I thought I was doing the right thing, but apparently not. Okay, let's try Gregory in Copaig. Okay, Gregory, are you there? Well, Gregory is not there.
Please hang up and try your call again.
God.
If you need assistance, dial your operator.
How do I hang up?
Oh, please hang up now.
Hang up
this
now. Okay, I just hung up. Okay, now we're going to try unsuccessfully, and I hope Gregory will call back, to Ellie in Amherst, Massachusetts. All right, Ellie, you should be on with any kind of luck here. Are you on? Ellie? What? Would somebody want to come in here and help me with this? I am so sorry. Something is not going right. The engineers are pouring, literally as we talk, pouring into the control room to help out and to see what's wrong. I see one of them. I see two of them. I see three of them. I see four of them. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. All right. Now, I don't it's not me. It's not me. Thank goodness for me. Because if the boss does it and then they can blame it on him, there'll be a revolution. Okay, so now we're going to go to line five. Something is not good. Line one. We're going to line one. All right. Line one, are you there? Hello? Hello, line one.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the
Hi.
Air. Go ahead.
Hi.
Thank goodness.
You didn't tell me that I was on the air.
What's your name?
Hi, Alan. Hi. Good afternoon. I'm wondering about how NPR manages, or they follow polls, but they don't follow necessarily different radio stations across the country, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that. Being studied or managed, or what's being produced? Is it a national thing? It's just a question.
Okay, let me try to explain a little bit to you. There are several hundred stations like WAMC. Now we have 29 stations. We're fairly big, and we determine our own policy. Nothing that NPR does. Is our doing. So if somebody takes a underwriting credit from somebody who other people would consider outrageous, we can't tell them what to do, and they can't tell us what to do. Same thing with stories that we decide to produce or what to do. Right now we have a Vox Pop program. Anybody is welcome to call it, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, and they do. So what we do in the morning is, in our news division, our wonderful news division under Ian Pickus, if somebody announces, and as a Republican, that they're going to run for state senator from my district in Massachusetts, we do a story about it. If two Democrats do, we do a story about both of them. So you would hope that that's the way it is played by NPR. But I guess the short answer is I can't tell you what NPR does or why they do it. And I can tell you, though, that I do have occasional disagreements with them.
Yeah, no, it's not just NPR. I was specifically trying to find about nationwide.
Well, what do you mean? You mean when you say nationwide?
Does anybody monitor or pay attention to what's being produced? I know it's by districts and all that kind of stuff.
You mean NPR? Are you talking about NPR public radio stations, or are you talking about all radio stations?
Well, no, not all radio stations. Obviously, we know what most radio stations are doing. But as far as NPR, National Public Radio, American Public Media,
I'm trying to tell you these are separate entities. You understand that?
Yep.
So American Public Media or WAMC or the people at NPR are very different. So Roger, I thank you for your call, and I hope you'll be in touch with me and tell me what your real concerns are, and maybe I can answer your questions. Okay?
Yeah, my name is Fred.
Fred. I'm so sorry, Fred. Yep. Bye.
Later on, it's okay.
Yeah, bye. Okay. Now we'll go to Roger in Utica. All right. Roger in Utica, you should be on the air right now. Are you?
Yeah. Hello. Can you
yes.
hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. WAMC does a better job than most stations, I think. However, people complain that like John Kasich and some of these others didn't get any attention. What about legitimate bona fide minor party candidates such as Greens or Libertarians that may be running a presidential candidate, or in New York State, maybe running a senatorial race? A lot of people go into the booth and they've never even heard that there's a Libertarian or a Green running, and that they have this option, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that nobody votes for them because nobody covers them, and most people, unless they're real hardcore political junkies, have never even heard of these.
Right. Well, you've heard me talk about, for example, third-party candidates from Massachusetts from time to time. But really what you do is you follow what the people who are lit. Now, you're right. There's a sort of dissonance here, because if we talk about Donald Trump, who has every indication of winning his party's nomination, and B, becoming president of the United States. We know Jill Stein from Massachusetts is not going to become president of the United States. So do we mention her? This will be the third time this program I have mentioned her. So, yeah, we mention her, but you really do understand what the way in which electoral politics and how it's played in the United States is, and I think to some degree we understand that.
Well, I hear you. With few exceptions, and your station is perhaps a major exception.
Okay.
You know, these candidates aren't even hardly mentioned.
Okay, but they should be, and I agree with that. Okay, Roger, thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Hang up. Okay, let's go to Ellie in Amherst. Ellie in Amherst, Massachusetts. All right. Ellie, are you there?
I am here.
Great. Sorry for the mess up. Yeah, sorry for the mess up. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Somebody hung up on me.
we had a problem. Go ahead.
Well, I called back. I know Jill. I didn't realize she was running again.
Maybe she's not.
I was a Green for years, and I haven't heard that she's running. Well, anyway, if she is, I'll vote for her. But I was...
Wait. You say you'll vote for her, but are you aware that we have a Supreme Court nomination up right now, that the party that wins will make it, we'll say 5-4 or 4-5? You don't feel responsible for that?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, there's got to be, if the Republicans win this nomination, a conservative judge like Scalia will become the next judge, and that'll be 5-4. But if
I think Jill is pretty smart, and I wouldn't hesitate to vote for her.
Yeah, but what if she doesn't win, which is very, very, very unlikely?
Well,
will you be throwing away your vote? And ordinarily, you would think if you're going to vote for Jill, you'd probably be closer to the Democrats than the Republicans, right?
Yes.
And therefore,
you would say I shouldn't vote for who I want rather than...
I'm not saying anything. I'm just asking a question.
I want to vote for Jill.
Okay. Ellie, I appreciate your call, and I appreciate what you're saying. Thanks.
Okay.
You should vote for whoever you want. Bye. Okay. All right. So now we'll go to Tony in Lee, Massachusetts. All right, Tony, you're on.
Hello, Alan. I'm calling to respond to an earlier caller who suggested that Hillary Clinton might be better able to work with the Republicans in Congress than Bernie Sanders. I think that's backwards. I think Hillary is despised by the Republicans in Congress, and that her election will exacerbate gridlock, and it'll be worse than it's ever been before.
Okay, so that's an interesting comment. Most of the people who have evaluated Hillary's work in the United States Senate have said, and yes, you know, I voted for Bernie, have said that she was among the best, most conciliatory senators to work with the Republicans and that they liked her. So where you're coming up with this, I don't know, except that they think they're going to run against her for president. And obviously,
you can infer it from the way she was hounded about Benghazi and about the business with the private email server. The only reason those things are still being pursued or were pursued so vehemently and vigorously is because she's despised by the people on the right.
Okay, it's coming around for the third time. That's no good.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. Assuming that Bernie gets elected president of the United States, you think they're going to be any less tough on him than on Hillary?
I think that the personal aspect of the animus between them will be less.
It's not. You know, when Mitch McConnell stood up there and said, "My only job is to get rid of Obama," he knew what he was talking about. It's all politics. That's the way it is. Tony, okay, you're entitled to your view of that. But if Bernie gets elected president of the United States, trust me, they are going to go after him with everything they've got. Hey, thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we will come right back, and then we'll have some nice time. So Ross and Gregory and Jim and Ed, stay where you are.
Support for WAMC comes from Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Edward Bike, picturing the American Revolution, juxtaposing a 20th century view of the Revolutionary War with 18th century portraits. ArkellMuseum.org. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more. Where eyewear is an art. Facebook or VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts, member SIPC. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. EdwardJones.com/Tom McRae. And Schenectady County Historical Society in Schenectady's Historic Stockade District, featuring exhibits, walking tours, research library, and more, now presenting Secret Stockade, walking tours with lunch, SchenectadyHistorical.org.
And we are back. Thank you, Zachary Malloy. Okay, everybody, we're back. The lines are loaded. We'd love you to be on. That's what this is all about, and thank you for doing it. Okay, so now we're going to go to Ross in Hyde Park. All right, Ross, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I'll tell you what my issue is. I feel that Bernie is getting a kind of a free pass during the primary, that Hillary is not going to go after him in the kind of way that the Republicans will in the general. Right. And therefore, these polls that show Bernie doing better against Trump than Hillary, I think, are weighted in Bernie's favor. When they start talking about his honeymoon in Russia, his trips to Cuba, where there is video of him praising Castro, his trips to Nicaragua, the Sandinistas, when they get into that kind of stuff, he's going to end up seeming like a far-out leftist who is not American. And this is before they get into any of his policies and issues that really matter.
Well, Ross, thank you for your view. It's not I voted for Bernie, but it's not one which I disagree with. He has been getting a relative free ride. Thank you, Ross. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Gregory in Copaig. Okay, Gregory in Copaig, you should be on, are you?
Yes, Alan, okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you perfectly.
You know, I had something to say, which I will, but first, are you close to the microphone?
Yes.
There's a terrible wheeze I'm hearing from you. Are you aware of it?
No.
There's a terrible wheeze that is very obvious when you're close to the mic and someone else is speaking and there's a silence.
Okay. Now, Gregory, proceed. We've gotten that out of the way. We're moving.
The Republican convention may be an open convention, as you know.
Yes.
And there was one person that both Sanders and Ms. Clinton, Secretary Clinton, are afraid of. That is neither Romney nor Bloomberg. That is Peter Zotos. He is the domino champ of President Street.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Okay, that's you, and Peter Zotos not going to be there. Okay, let's go to Jim in Amherst. All right, Jim. Jim,
yes,
thank
good
you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah. On the incident with Trump's... campaign manager or manhandler, whatever. I mean, there is been several times in the news, it's been quoted that there is photographic evidence of this man's grip on that woman's arm, bruising her flesh. Now, you try gripping your wife's arm hard enough till she slugs you in the head before you make a mark on her arm, you'll see how hard this man crushed her arm with his fingertips.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jim. Appreciate that very much.
All righty.
Right. Okay, let's go to Ed in Newburgh. All right. Ed in Newburgh, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Okay, I just wanted your opinion. It seems like the news is very negative towards Trump, and I think that fuels the people being more positive.
Could be.
Trying to be anti-establishment.
Could
and
be.
Also, President Obama himself mentioned that Trump will never make the White House. I think that also fuels his popularity. What is your opinion on that?
Well, I think you're right. And I think what happens is, if you see, and I've been thinking about this, and I know this is not going to be popular, particularly with our audience, but if you see a bunch of people busting up a Trump rally, that doesn't hurt him. That helps him. Because I think Americans are fair play. They want to make sure that everybody gets a chance. And, you know, if you're going to stop somebody from having free speech, it ain't good. So even though I may agree with much of the positions of the people who are doing the protesting, I think your point is extremely well taken, that it's going to help, not hurt them. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it only makes sense. Another problem I have with the news is they don't just report the news now. They'll give you a soundbite of the news, and then we've got to hear 3 minutes of their opinions. I don't need their opinions. I need the news.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. You know, I watch CNN in the middle of the night sometime or other times, and it's just sickening. I mean, it's just sickening to watch these panels saying nothing. I mean,
exactly.
Nothing. So you make a good point. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
All right, Al. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, we'll go to Glenn in Albany. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, Glenn in Albany, you're on.
Hey, Alan. I was just calling. Hey, I wanted to give my 2 cents about the Republican runner-up, Rafael Cruz. I know people have been distracted a lot with Donald Trump, but I mean, some of the stuff that this guy's saying, it's terrifying. I mean, from the things that he says that he will bomb the Middle East till it glows.
Yep.
I mean, he went up, said he's backed Israel 100%. He's been responsible for the funding and crippling Planned Parenthood in his state, like due to his religious beliefs. I mean, he shut down the government.
Wait. You're talking now about Cruz, right?
Yeah.
Not Trump. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I mean, he changed his name to Ted, but I call him Raphael.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
And I mean, he has shut down the government, and, you know, he's considered to do it again.
Well,
and,
by the way, Glenn, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think if Cruz becomes the candidate, the Democrats are going to be in much better shape than if Trump is the presidential candidate, because Cruz is so far over to the right that he can't possibly grab the middle ground, whereas Trump shows, at least with white men who didn't go to college and many of their wives, shows a real propensity to win. So I think Trump is the more dangerous of the two candidates.
Yeah, but I mean, you hear Cruz on TV, and, you know, he wants to use religion to pretty much discriminate against, you know, the LGBT community.
Right.
And the guy is really, like, on a religious crusade. It's just like, where has this party gone? They are just, like, I mean, they're full-on crazy.
It has to do with
the runner-up. Like,
It
keeps me up at night.
Okay, it has to do with the primary system in America, where a few people show up in primaries. Almost always they're the activists in the party. And that certainly is the case in the Republican side, I can tell you that. Glenn, good call. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, thanks, Alan. Right. Bernie?
Okay, and now let's go to Abigail in Kingston. Abigail in Kingston, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I'm in a limbo, honey, and not to dance, however much I love to dance, but, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do on April 19th when I get into that box. I love Bernie. I'm not quite sure about, I love Hillary, too, in a way, Bill, whatever. And I think, I don't know who could win of the two over, well, I think.
Wait. What are your instincts? Forget about political science. Tell me what your instincts are.
I'm not a political scientist. Anyway, my instinct is, oh God, that's what I'm having a problem with. I'm analyzing my instinct. So I think what will happen is I'll get in the box and I'll pull a lever.
Okay. But Abigail, you know, we're old friends. You're on all the time. I'm just asking you because you're important. You say you're torn between the two of them, but if you put your hands on your forehead, close your eyes, and press, who do you
I think it would be good for this country to have a woman, but what kind of a woman?
I'm not asking that question. I'm asking who would be better at winning for the Democrats?
I think Bernie at this point.
Really?
Because he certainly has the youth, And if we can get the youth out there to register, although registration is closed already in lots of places.
Yeah,
it
is.
New York.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't know, but I pray.
I know you can't switch parties. That's all over.
I totally love to see Bernie.
Okay. Abigail, you're done. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Ron in Corinth. Okay, Ron in Corinth, you're on.
I'm on. Alan, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Can you hear me all right?
And to you, perfectly. Although
okay,
I may
good.
Be wheezing a bit. Yeah.
I have a suggestion for getting out of this gridlock in Washington.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the fact that when they asked those guys who set the government up what they had, they said it's a republic, if you could keep it.
Right.
It's not really a democracy.
Your point
so
is?
We put these people in Washington who are now, I don't know if they're doing what the people want or not. They're certainly not doing what I want. What we should do is the next congressional election, don't put any incumbents back in.
That's been suggested many times. It ain't going to happen.
I understand it probably isn't going to happen, but
so it's your tongue in your cheek.
Realize that we are the power, really, in this republic.
Right.
We can take all those guys down there, 300 of them or whatever it is, and get rid of them and put new people in there anytime we want, any election.
Right.
And I don't know why that's not done.
Okay, Ron.
People make such a big thing out of the presidential election. All they gave him was the main thing they gave him was the power over the military, and that's what we ought to be concerned with in who we're going to elect this time.
Okay, Ron, you're done. Thank you very, very much for calling. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Ed in Bethlehem. Okay, Ed. Ed, you're on.
Yes. Hello. I'd just like to weigh in on the whole thing and explain why I think Donald Trump is a much more formidable candidate, at least if he's running against Hillary. And I go back, I unlike many of my compatriots, I pay attention to history.
Right.
And it's a well-known fact that Hitler went around when he was campaigning with a copy of the Versailles Treaty in his pocket to make his stump speeches. And no reasonable person, if they look at that now, can say that the Germans got a square deal at the end of World War One. At the same time, I was starkly reminded of that at one of the recent...
Hello? Hello? Well, that's that. Okay, bye. Let's go to Ann in Ulster County. Okay, Ann, you're on.
Hi there. You were asking to begin with whether this election seems like very inappropriate and discourteous, whatever it's crazy I call
right.
it. Yeah, I think it reflects society at large. People are very discourteous. Not everyone, but it's enough. Even the kids in high school.
Well, you make a point because Trump is very popular. Certainly with a lot of Republican voters, and he is certainly uncivil. And therefore, it is reflective that this seems to be what a lot of people want, right?
Even female high school students.
Yep.
And as for that lady that said, oh, gee, he grabbed my arm. I mean, how many times rushing for a subway or something would somebody grab your arm to take their place? She's just being a silly ninny in the back seat.
That's a good one. Silly ninny in the back seat. I like it. Okay,
yeah, like a little kid. And Alan, I want to thank you so much for being fair. There's been a number of times where you've spoken up for freedom of speech, and I think that's just wonderful. And I could just grab your little bag of bones and give you a hug.
Thank you, Annie. Appreciate it. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, and we'll go to Susan in Sunderland. And we have a few more phones that could be answered. Susan in Sunderland, you're on.
Hello.
Hello, you're on.
Hi. My phone call is actually a good follow-up to the lady ahead of me.
Yep.
I disagree somewhat about whether the woman getting grabbed by Trump's manager is important. It's really not his job to be security for Trump because that's what they have Secret Service for. But that's one thing. I don't think that guy would have grabbed a man. He grabbed a woman, and I think that speaks to another aspect of this issue because this guy has been called up before for having a hot temper. I know, having been a school teacher, if I put my hands on a kid the way he put his hands on her, leaving a bruise or not, I would have been called up to the principal.
Yep.
So I think that that is something. And even if he's not found guilty of this, I think that it's a good message that the freedom of the press comes ahead of the manager's concerns about whether he likes what's being asked.
Okay, fair enough, Susan.
And I have one other quick thing.
All right.
Which is about the third-party issue.
Yeah.
Talking about Jill Stein.
Yeah.
What we're figuring out here in Franklin County is that we need to work at the state and local level as opposed to trying to do third-party work at the national level at this point because it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think is very positive is the rise of the third-party, Working Families Party.
Exactly.
Now, they have a very good chance of taking some seats this time in the legislature for the first time. I consider that to be extremely positive. Down in the shell.
Right, and that's exactly what we need to be doing. It's what the Republicans have been doing for 40 years.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. Appreciate your call.
Right. Thank you.
Right. And we'll go to Linda in Corinth. Okay. Linda in Corinth, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you today?
Well, I'm all right. You know, I'm trying to work the system here. I'm trying to press the right buttons.
Technology makes me crazy.
Well, we're doing a big switchover so that for years you guys have been paying for our new control room. We're finally doing it, and we're in sort of temporary moving around, schlepping around corners, and that's why you're getting what you're getting. Go ahead.
Yeah, I stick a big sign up that says, "Thank God for the geeks."
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, the rest of us couldn't figure it out.
You bet.
But anyways, my point about the election, with my ideal dream ticket, putting my hands to my head and really thinking about what my real ticket would be, it would be Hillary and Bernie. Bernie is vice president and Hillary is president. And what a package that would make.
That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen.
Package and just, we're dreaming, remember?
Dreaming. Dreaming's fine.
Okay.
You want to
Clinton Sanders or all of that energy going on.
Yeah.
And because the country is, I'm just dreaming now, because the country has grown so much in the past 400 years, 300 years from the first concept of this democracy, we need to split the presidency where half one person is dealing with domestic issues and the other.
Hey, Linda, that's all fine for another time, but that's not what's going to happen. And my bet is if I were Hillary Clinton and I won this election, I would reach out to somebody who can bring in the diverse vote. For example, black people who turned out in huge numbers for the last time. And I think the ideal candidate, I've said it before, you know, I'll say it again, is Deval Patrick, who is a wonderful man, was a great governor of Massachusetts, and I think would be ideal. I don't think it'll be him either. Hey, Linda, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll go to Matt in Monroe. Okay, Matt in Monroe, you're there.
I'm here. How are you?
Well, okay. Go ahead.
Thanks for being here. I want to make a quick comment about the Bernie versus Hillary thing. Let's just for argument's sake say that the giant gridlock in Washington is due partially to the fact that Obama is African-American, right? So a lot of people on the other side don't like African-Americans. They also don't like women. In fact, they like women less than they like African-Americans. That's why the country elected a black man before any woman. So you say, who will experience more trouble with gridlock? I think the answer is obviously Bernie. He's an old white guy. The Republicans love old white guys. They hate women. They hate black people. They love old white guys.
Well, there's a certain amount of generalization. I heard your sentence. Generalization going on here, which I don't necessarily subscribe to. I don't think Obama got elected. I don't think Obama got elected because the people didn't like women. I think Obama got elected because Obama had properties that people were able to project themselves into that were not the Hillary or Bill Hillary, Billary. A concept. Hey, listen, Matt, thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's see here. We can have one real fast one. Let's go to James on the road. Mm-hmm. James on the road. You're on. We got to do it in one sentence. Go ahead. James?
Hello?
Very quickly. One sentence. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was talking about people saying that Bernie Sanders would have trouble working with the Congress. I just wanted to say that the whole idea of his political revolution is not to work with the members of Congress that are there the first 2 years. Obviously, he's good not going to be able to get anything done.
Hey, good point. And I'm going to let you go only because we are out of time. And thank you. I want to thank James on the road, who we had to interrupt, and Robert from Northampton, and who talks about apathy in the voters. We are done for the day, and I wanted to thank a whole bunch of people if I can find the right piece of paper. All right, here we go. All right, support for the Vox Pop comes from Unusual Wedding Rings and More in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield, a jewelry emporium providing traditional and non-traditional engagement, wedding, and anniversary rings for conventional and same-sex couples, unusualweddingrings.com, the Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz presenting Parade, a musical exploring the 1913 Atlanta murder trial of Leo Frank, April 7th through 17th, newpaltz.edu/theater, Intrum Healthcare, helping people remain at home for 45 years, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home for 2 to 24 hours a day, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, IntrumHealthcare.com, Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, AmherstCopy.com. Thanks, and remember, the conversation continues. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Check. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok, and whew, out of breath.